Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm Rex Nelson, senior editor of the Democrat Gazette, and it is a pleasure to have back Dr. Melissa Tavner, the president of Lyon College in Batesville. It has been a while, so we've changed studios since you were last here. So
you're definitely upgrading. It's looking really good.
Well, thank you for coming back.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
A lot is going on, and it's going to be hard to get it all into the next 30 minutes. But being here in Central Arkansas, of course, I wanted to update your planned dental school, your planned veterinary school. But, you know, since we just started the fall semester, let's start back on the home campus in Batesville, where I saw that you all put out a week or so ago some very good enrollment numbers for this fall.
Yes, we are very excited about our enrollment numbers. We brought in another very solid class. Our total enrollment at this point is 666 students. We are a little over 80% occupancy in our residential halls.
That's great.
So that's wonderful. So that's functionally full, mm-hmm. which is what we like.
Which you shoot for,
One of the most encouraging statistics that came out from the census day was that our retention of existing students was at, it was over 70%.
Mm.
And that's always a positive thing, because that means that the students who have had the Lyon experience for a year or two, they are valuing it and they want to come back and continue it to graduation. That's ultimately what we want.
Great. Having worked in higher education, I realize it's complex, but I'm going to ask you for the Cliff Notes version. And basically, I mean, most of our listeners are familiar with the coming enrollment cliff. They've heard that term. They know what that is. So, you know, in the year 2024 and going forward, in essence, how do you market a small liberal arts school in the middle of rural Arkansas?
The best marketing tool is outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at what our graduates do, when you look at statistics that, it's something like a 10-year rolling average for admissions to medical school, we're between 85 and 90% acceptance.
Wow.
That's more than double the national average.
Yep. Yep.
When you look at the number of our students who apply for other types of healthcare professional schools, dental school, pharmacy school, veterinary school, our acceptance, again, is in the 90% range or above. Law school, same type of thing. Graduate school, same type of thing. Our students get into fantastic grad programs. But it's not always about postgraduate. It is also about, what do our people do when they get out and they want to start a small business? We have mm-hmm. a ton of people who are entrepreneurs. We have a ton of people who go into a range of businesses. And what we find is within 6 months of graduation or a year of graduation, we're looking at over 90% of our students are either in grad school, professional school, or already employed. Sometimes it's less than 100% because somebody decides to take a gap year and say, I'm going to go hike through Europe. I'm like, well, yay you. But ultimately, what it comes down to is our students are so very well prepared for what comes next. And I think a lot of that is not just but that we have an amazing faculty.
Mm-hmm.
We have fabulous
students.
We are incredibly blessed by having these professionals who really do, they love their field, but they also love teaching and bringing people into the fold. So that's part of it. Another piece is that we teach quietly the skills that employers want.
Mm-hmm.
Communications, mm-hmm. written communication, oral communication, quantitative literacy. One of the most important things is, how do you work in groups? Working with people, working in community is kind of part and parcel of who we are. And so when you look at the outcomes, it rolls back to our philosophy of education, which is, we are going to, as a small college, we have the absolute luxury of working with students where they are and helping them envision what comes next for them. And maybe it's not what they decided when they came in. They say, oh, I want to be a doctor. And they get into general biology or general chemistry and went, nope, this is not for me. That's fine. That is absolutely fine, because what happens in college should be a time of exploration and self-awareness. And you find your path. Sometimes you have to try two or three paths.
Exactly.
And that is absolutely great. We are very good at saying, hey, you know, here's a smorgasbord. Try this. If you like it, fabulous. Let's go. If you don't like it, there are other things. There's always something else. But we can help you figure out what it is you need to be successful and in your postgraduate life.
Yeah. You have done a great job just there explaining what I spent 5 years of my life trying to explain. Just so our listeners know, full disclosure, as you know, I spent 5 years as president of Arkansas's independent colleges and universities. Lyon was one of the 11 schools that I represented in that job.
And we are still a proud member of that organization.
Absolutely. Great organization. I still think of all of you as, quote unquote, my schools, 11 of them.
We're good with that.
I would go to the legislature and it would always be, you know, technology training, STEM this, STEM that. And basically what you are saying, the line I would boil it down to is that our schools don't just teach you how to hold a job, because jobs change, careers change. They teach you how to live a fulfilling life is what they do.
That is our mission. And work is part of a fulfilling life, but it's also how do you fit into and contribute to your community?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be active in your church? If you are, fabulous. Are you going to be active in Kiwanis or Rotary? Wonderful. But all of those things are predicated on the ability to make connections with people. And post-pandemic, a lot of that has been sort of upended, and mm-hmm. we have to, undergraduates, graduates, faculty, staff, community, we all are having to re-examine what that means to make those connections again. And I think that because it's always been a part of who we are, we were able to sort of bounce back and bring people along, and again, they're being incredibly successful still.
Exactly. In addition to good enrollment news to start the fall semester, you've gotten some good grant news. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. We applied to the Department of Education for a Title III grant. And Title III grants are, they are essentially to help institutions contribute to increasing student success. And that's a huge umbrella. That can mean a lot of different things for a lot of different places. Now, Lyon has gotten one of these before. It's mm-hmm. been about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
This one, we received notification last night that we were awarded a grant based on our latest application that was from last year. And it's the title of the grant is Thriving Scots. And so what essentially that boils down to is that we are going to be creating intentionally learning communities for our students, particularly for our first-year students,
mm-hmm.
because anybody who works in undergraduate education knows that the first year, the freshman year, it's a ride.
It's a hard thing.
And
it's where you lose a lot of people that first year.
And so
year.
What we know from our own personal experience is that anything that we can do to increase the contact of our students so that they feel like, oh, I'm part of this group, and I'm part of this group, and I'm part of this group. You may be an athlete. That's fabulous. But increasing the number of sort of intentional groups in, for example, the learning communities is another way for students to make connections with each other, to make connections with faculty and staff, and to make connections with the institution. So they say, I mean, we tell them when they come in, you belong here.
Mm-hmm.
You were accepted to Lyon College. That is not a small feat, but you belong here, and we want you here, and we will do what we need to do to help you see that. And so that's what there are several other things that include sort of digging into more retention data and things like that. But the upshot is that we want to help people know that they are not only welcome, but they belong, and they make those connections and feel like, okay, that's going to make a difference to my undergraduate experience.
Yeah, and the amount of that grant?
It's a five-year grant for
5 years. Okay.
For $1.95 million.
That's great.
It's exciting. We were not expecting notification. we received our provost received an email last night and said, mm-hmm. We got funded. What grant was this? And we're going, I don't know. What grant is this? So it was wonderful news. It was a very exciting chat going back and forth last night.
That is wonderful news. Let's move to the graduate level now. The last time I had you you had announced, and the only, when I wrote about it in my columns in the Democrat Gazette, the best adjective I could come up with was audacious, because I did think it was audacious for a small liberal arts school in Batesville to want to open the state's first dental school and veterinary schools. But you have continued down that track, continued to make progress. You move forward. Let's start here, and that is location. You had first looked at the Heifer campus here in downtown Little Rock. We are taping this show in downtown Little Rock, so just down the street. Eventually, though, you move for the dental school. You're going to wind up in the Riverdale neighborhood of Little Rock. The veterinary school is going to be in Cabot. Talk a little bit about that path and how you got to where you are now.
Yeah. The original site for both of these schools, the Heifer campus in the East Village, it's a wonderful site. And the Heifer location, that facility is amazing. Its proximity to downtown and to the Clinton Library, all amazing. But as we dug into this and began to plan, we realized that the needs of these two schools would be pretty severely constrained in that location, particularly putting two schools there. Mm-hmm. It, you know, at the outset, it looked like this could work really well. We could sort of have some synergies. And what we found is that the synergies were far outweighed by a number of other impediments. Mm-hmm. And so we began saying, okay, if this is not the location, where can we go? That makes sense and will support the growth and development of these schools.
Right. Even now, splitting the locations. Now.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so when we were looking at the dental school, because of how the curriculum is constructed, that the fact that the dental students under the guidance of the dental faculty really need to see people. They need to see patients. It makes sense to have the dental school in an urban area. Mm-hmm. Little Rock is the largest. It's the population density is sufficient to provide access to a wide range of cases, and that's something that the accreditors are looking for. Students need to see a wide range of different types of patients, different types of situations in order to be trained well. And so we said, okay, we need to stay as close to downtown Little Rock as we can in the urban area. And we were fortunate enough to have some conversations with folks who said, well, you know, the old Blue Cross Blue Shield building, mm-hmm. There's one tenant in a 12-story building. Would this work? And we started thinking about it, and it's like, oh my goodness, it will work. And the thing that's the advantage is that in the East Village location, we were not planning to have a clinic. We didn't have space.
Gotcha.
Now we can. We are going to have a 100-chair clinic.
Oh wow, that's big.
It's a big clinic, but it means that we can serve a wide diversity of folks, and it's on a bus line, which mm-hmm. means it's easy to get to. There's parking. That whole thing. But the cool thing, the thing that excites me most about that clinic is that there are two specific areas that we are designing into it. The first is going to be exclusively pediatrics. There's going to be a pediatric dentistry section in the clinic. The second part is going to be a special needs clinic. So folks with special needs, for example, if someone is on the spectrum and they need a little bit of extra time or a very specific space in order to accomplish this type of healthcare, we can do that. And that was very intentional on our part, because the whole point of all of these grad schools is that we are trying to serve. We're trying to meet a need that is not currently being met right now and in the future. So being able to have that clinic and to be able to invite people into that clinic and say, come and see us. Mm-hmm. We want to help be a part of your healthcare journey. We can do that. The other neat thing about this is that our founding dean, Dr. Burke Soaf, and I have been in conversation with school districts. How can we help school districts get the word about oral health care?
Oh, great.
So we are talking about bringing students to the clinic. We are talking about going to the school district to do some outreach. So all of these really exciting opportunities are coming together now. And we're very excited about the possibilities here.
You know, you and I recently talked over lunch, and I wanted to go on and bring it to the show. I write a lot about quality of life, improving quality of life, amenities in Arkansas cities. The first place I lived out of college was in the Riverdale neighborhood. I was a young sports writer at the Arkansas Democrat at that time. Newspaper, had an apartment there. But, you know, I loved the neighborhood and still do. And one of the things you have going for you outside of the, you talked about the space that you've now got in that building. But if you look at the neighborhood as a whole, you've got some of the city's nicest apartments and condos within walking distance mm-hmm. of there. You've got some of the city's, I'm obviously a guy who likes to eat, some of the city's best restaurants within walking distance of there. You're on the Arkansas River. You've got the Arkansas River Trail, Murray Park, even a golf course, basically within walking distance of there. Seems like a really neat place for students and faculty members to possibly live in the neighborhood and even be able to bike or walk to the dental school.
That was a part of our calculus, is like that when we are inviting students into our undergraduate campus, for example, it's very mm-hmm. important for us that this place is beautiful, that it serves the needs of the work that's being done there. And that's what we very much envision with the facility in the Riverdale area that we have. We're actually construction starting this week.
Oh, wow.
On
talking about moving quickly. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So that's going to start this week. But the idea was that, you know, we actually have a neighborhood that's easily accessible, that's very supportive of, you know, if somebody wants to be outside, you can be outside. Mm-hmm. If you would rather just like go out to eat every day, God bless you, do that. So you can do that. So, and you can also get to shopping. And we are also pretty close to UAMS, mm-hmm. which is another collaborator for us. So, I mean, it had a lot of advantages. And so we were just very fortunate that that opportunity presented itself at the right time. And we had the right conversations and we were able to make it happen. We're very grateful to the people at Colliers and the building owners for working with us to make this happen.
Well, let's move on to veterinary school. How did you end up in Cabot?
How did we end up in Cabot? Cabot has a director of animal services. His name's Mike Wheeler. Mm-hmm. And Mike, his daughter graduated from Lyon last December.
Okay.
And so we kind of got to know each other a little bit. But when we started talking about a veterinary school, and this was when it was still in Little Rock, he was very, very interested in setting up some type of partnership with Lyon as we are looking at a distributed model for the veterinary school. So we do the basic fundamental clinical training on the campus. And then again, as you're being trained in these healthcare professions, you need to see one, do one, teach
right.
one.
Right.
And so we will have, we're working on now establishing partnerships with a wide variety of veterinary facilities, practices, and things like that. And Mike was one of the first people to say, look, I'm in. What do you need? And so we started that conversation and we said, yeah, let's work on what that looks like and how we can support you, because we don't ever want to come in and say, okay, well, you need to do this. And we interfere in the flow of someone's practice or something like that. And so these are delicate conversations. We want to make sure that everybody's going to get a benefit from that relationship. And so when we announced that we were looking for an alternate site as we were moving away from East Village, the Cabot folks who had gotten to know me a little bit and had gotten to know folks on the Lyon team said, come talk to us mm-hmm. because we have 100 acres just north of the city proper mm-hmm. at exit 21. And we are developing that. We have purchased it. We're developing it. We are going to put animal services there, but there's a lot of land.
Yeah.
Would you be interested in that type of relationship where we could have the vet school there right next door to Cabot Animal Services? Our plans at this point are not to build an animal hospital, a teaching hospital, because that's huge.
Right.
And it's incredibly
right.
expensive. But again, because of the distributed model and access to Cabot Animal Services, it seemed to be a model that would work. And so we're sort of working out exactly how that is going to be structured. And we are working with architects right now. We are finalizing what the design is going to look like for the vet school on that campus, close proximity to animal services. And it's just, it's moving along. It's fortunately, it's on a different accreditation schedule than the dental school, because if we were doing both of those together, I think we'd be dead.
Yeah.
They're both very, very intense.
Oh, I can't imagine the number of hours involved.
But we're very fortunate that we've got sort of consummate professionals working on this stuff. So the vet school is in terms of timeline, is behind the dental school, but we're actually with it.
Give me the two timetables, roughly. When, you know, when the first class comes in, so forth, what you're shooting for at least right now.
Sure, sure. Yeah. What we're shooting for is, well, we have a milestone next week.
Okay.
We have the site visit for the dental accreditor. They are going to be in Little Rock for a couple of days. And they are going to have meetings with the dental staff, with the Lion staff. We're basically going to be all on call for like 48 hours to sort of dig into the plans that we have, and they're going to see the facilities and what the construction plans look like. So they're going to be here. We have worked so hard for this. And, you know, you prepare, and you say, well, this, we're going to continue to prepare up until the last second. Mm-hmm. And we are anticipating a positive visit. I mean, it's going to be hard, because it should be, honestly. It's healthcare accreditation. It needs to be very precise. Our goal is to meet and exceed the standard. That's what we want to do. And so we hope to hear from CODA, the accreditors, within the next couple, 3 months. But they know that we are planning to take our first students on June 30th of 2025.
Wow. Aggressive timeline.
We have opened our admissions portal. Mm-hmm. We already have a couple hundred applications, and we've been very quiet about it, because we can't promise anything until we get the accreditation. Mm-hmm. And so we have applications, we have strong applicants, which is really exciting. We are looking to have our first day of class on the 30th of June, 2025. Mm. Our initial class size is 80 students.
Less than a year away,
and we're really excited about it. It's something, you know, when you've worked for something this big for a while, and then you look at the calendar and go, oh my, okay then, here we go.
Here we go. Dive into the deep end. All right, how about proposed timetables? I know you mentioned the veterinary school is not as far along, but what are you looking at there, roughly?
It's pretty far along. I mean, we've already had a consultative site visit with the vet accreditor. That happened last November, and that was a good visit. We got a lot of feedback. We got a lot of things, and they said, you need to think about this, and they're like, you're right, and we have. Mm-hmm. And so we have sort of updated and amended our plans based on their recommendations. And our last big report, or basically a self-study, went in August, and we have requested a comprehensive site visit. Now, that is on their timetable. Mm-hmm. We can't force anything, nor should we. I do know that there are, across the country, the dearth of veterinarians is noticed. And so a lot of institutions are responding by trying to start vet schools. I mean, again, all over the country.
I was going to mention that, because I have an example I wanted to throw out there. Again, many of our listeners know that Arkansas State University in Jonesboro is also planning to open a veterinary school. And people will say, well, two? We're going to go from zero to two? And I'm reminded of a few years ago when there were osteopathic schools open, medical colleges open in both Fort Smith and Jonesboro. Mm-hmm. Both of those schools are thriving. We still cannot meet the need in rural Arkansas with both of those. We live in a state, and we tend to forget this in urban areas like those of us here in Little Rock, but folks, agriculture remains the largest sector of the Arkansas economy. And the need is so great. There's no reason in my mind, and I'm sure you feel the same way, why Lyons School can't thrive at the same time that ASU's veterinary school is thriving.
And it comes back, as you said, to need. Mm-hmm. There, we do not have enough veterinarians nationwide. We do not have enough veterinarians internationally.
We're close in Arkansas. Yeah.
So the need is so great. Having two schools in the same state, there are other states that have two veterinary mm-hmm. schools. And they are highly subscribed. So I don't know how they're planning their school. There are going to be some differences. That's fine. That gives students some choice. They can look at our school. They can look at that Arkansas State. The important thing is that that students go to an accredited program so that when they come out, they're ready for their boards. They're prepared to immediately go into practice and start serving.
Yeah.
That's our goal. Because we want people out in, we want them in agriculture, we want them in small animal. My goodness, there are not nearly enough large animal vets in the world. It's a hard row to hoe. It's mm-hmm. a hard life. But people who love it, love it.
If you love animals, it's a passion.
So
yeah.
That's what we want to do. We are working our path, they're working their path, and I know that their dean has reached out to our dean and say, that, oh, if there are places we can collaborate, that's great. I don't know where that is, and that's their conversation.
Right.
But we're not closed to anything.
Yeah.
We very much understand that, for example, our founding dean on the dental side was at a dental board, a state dental meeting in Hot Springs last weekend. Well, he had a conversation with the dean of the UT Dental School in Memphis.
In Memphis, right.
And they said—
Most Arkansans now go because we don't have a dental school.
Absolutely. Yeah. But he was very open and very excited about mm-hmm. the Arkansas Dental School and said, you know, there are places that we can collaborate to serve. And immediately I'm thinking, Little Rock is here, Memphis is here, and in the middle we have the Delta. And the Delta is one of the areas of greatest need. If we attack this from both geographic directions, my goodness, what good can we do?
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's no different. Again, you go back to regular medical schools, Alice Walton forming her own in Bentonville right now. But again, the need is so great, especially in rural Arkansas, for doctors. So, in a growing state, and Arkansas is growing, the need is there. If we have two medical schools, two osteopathic schools, two veterinary schools, one dental school, finally,
we're all the better.
I'm looking at it as from a statewide perspective. You've obviously got to look from a line perspective, but I think there's room for all of them.
There is. I mean, the thing that struck me when we first began this conversation years and years and years ago is that we have all of these incredibly qualified students, not just from Lyon, but from across the state, who want to be dentists, who want to be veterinarians, and they have to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And the statistics are that if you train someplace else,
you're
the
not
likelihood
come back to practice, yeah.
Not as much, not as likely. Sometimes there's financial incentive to do that, but it doesn't always work that way. And I would like to be a part of stopping that brain drain, because the people who are educated, who grow up in Arkansas, who are educated in Arkansas, they're wonderful. They're wonderful people mm-hmm. who understand the state, who have a real love for the place, for their communities, and they want to come back and serve. And that's central to who we are at Lyon.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What else? We're about to run out of time. What else on the drawing board, either in Batesville, Cabot, Little Rock, anything else I'm not thinking of that you wanted to talk about while I have you today?
Well, we did in this calendar year, we did execute an articulation agreement with the Bowen School, the law school.
Mm-hmm.
That was back in the spring, I forget. And then very recently, we finalized an articulation agreement with the Clinton School. And we're
great.
Really excited. We have a very strong history of our students and being very successful at the Clinton School. Now we've just codified it and given them a little bit more of a well-defined path to how to get there and why they should think about that. So I think one of the things that we're always looking at Lyon is how do we meet the needs of our students, the needs that they don't even know they have yet? What are the drivers in the economy? Where are the gaps? What are the things that we can help with? And it doesn't have to be a graduate professional school for healthcare. There are other programs that we're sort of tossing around thinking, could we do something like that, both in Batesville and elsewhere? So we're still actively looking for ways to serve, ways to help strengthen communities, ways to help strengthen the outcomes of our students. And we're just excited. We're excited about all the stuff that's going on. We're excited about our backyard access, which is specifically to bring students within from 16 different school districts that are within commuting range of Lyon. We actually set up a special program to recruit them and retain them, because that has not been something we've been really good at. We're getting pretty good at it now,
yeah.
So we're really excited about that.
And, the old sports writer in me would be remiss if I didn't mention Lyon's in a – new conference. When you started a football program a few years ago, started at the NAIA level, but now NCAA Division III, which is more like your sister colleges and schools. So you have a college, and as we tape this, Lion football has won its opener and off to a 1-0 start.
It sure did.
Have to mention that.
We were very proud of it. I spoke with the coach yesterday, and he said they did very well. They're up against McMurray this coming weekend in Texas. And I said, how are they? He said, they're really good. But he said, I have confidence in my kids. We're preparing, and we're playing the game in our heads before we get there.
We've got a conference alliance that seems to be a very good fit for where you are and who you are now.
The conference that we're in for every other sport is the St. Louis Intercollegiate Athletic Conference.
That's been
wonderful for us. Our first year competing, our college won the sportsmanship
award
for the entire conference.
Yeah.
We're really proud of that. Our teams have been successful. They've been competitive, and they've been able to hold their own and actually sort of push some schools that haven't had that quality of competition before. I won't say that. They've all done very, very well. And the SCAC for the football conference seems to fit our folks very well. Again, one game in.
Exactly.
We know these schools, and that's a growing conference for football. So we're looking for one or two more schools to join in the next year or so. So it'll be good.
Congratulations on all that's going on. I know there's a lot ahead, a lot of work ahead with these accreditations. So best of luck, and we'll have you back in a year or so for an update.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Rusty. This is always fun.
Great.
Thanks for
listening.
Melissa
Tanner, president of Lyon College in Batesville. You've been listening to the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.